Okay. So, what I have to share with you does not have a lot of scriptures. This is. It's really based a lot on experience, what I've experienced. Although there are scriptures after scriptures after scriptures on praying for one another, on prayer. I mean, just pray, pray, pray. What I titled this was The Progression of Intercessory Prayer When Praying in the Spirit. And so intercession, it actually can come two ways. One way is when the Spirit itself prompts you. It wakes you up in the night, or you'll be going about your day and all of a sudden you experience an urgency in your spirit. You might even wake up one day and you feel really down. You almost feel depressed. And you're like saying to yourself, what is wrong with me? I'm not depressed. Why do I feel this way? And it's taken me a lot of years to figure out what that is. That is God's Spirit. There's something going on, and He's allowing you to feel this so you will pray it through. So there's different ways that He will tap you by the Spirit out of the blue. But of course, we all know the other way is when we already know about a situation. We already have a person on our heart. We've been asked to pray for the nation, whatever it is. And we can step into intercession, praying in the Spirit. I mean, there's intercession praying in English too. But we can step into intercession and stand in the gap for a situation, an individual, whatever. So, but what I want to talk to you about is the type where we're actually going to step into it. I'm not going to talk about how when God comes on you. I shared a little bit about that. Most of you have experienced that. I hope that some of the things that I shared about that depressed feeling, because it took me a lot of years to figure out what was going on there. And it was by trial and error. I mean, I would call someone else up, Virginia or my mom or someone, and I would, you know, say, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. And they would go, you too? And we would instantly know, oh, I know what this is. And then we would begin to intercede. But I'm going to talk about, and our activation is going to deal with, just something that's on our heart, something that we already are concerned about, whether that's our family, a particular person, our nation, whatever it is. And one of the reasons I'm sharing this is I shared about this in the last prayer class that we had, and there weren't very many people there, but the people that were there really appreciated it. So I asked the Lord about it before I put this together, and I feel like He really helped me add some things to it to help us. So when we begin to pray for something that's on our heart, the way that we can move into intercession and move forward and actually experience a breakthrough in the Spirit is first we just allow our heart just to go before the Father and pour out, you know. And I'll give you an example. That morning in prayer class, we had prayed for Deborah Gurr, and we had prayed about healing. And at the end of the meeting, we just had a time of prayer, just personal prayer. And I was so in my heart disturbed because of all these situations where people have cancer or a physical situation, and we're praying for them, and they do not get healed. And so this was on my heart. And I just was pouring out my complaints to the Father about this. And as I got into it and I was pouring out those complaints, then I began, I realized, okay, you've got to shift here to something else. And so I said, okay, Lord, how do you feel about this? This must be painful for you too. And so at that point, I began to allow the Father's heart to come in, and I began to pray in the Spirit. And at that point, what happens is you allow the Father to express His heart through your praying in the Spirit. And so we want to yield to Him and allow ourselves to experience whatever it is He's experiencing, whether that's heartache, sorrow, compassion, love, even anger sometimes, okay? And we want to go with that. We want to, in the Spirit, pray that through, experience that, express that, however it is. Sometimes what happens to me is my literal tongues changes, yes, to a tongue I don't normally pray in.
Yes.
It's different. Sometimes that'll happen. Sometimes I'm shaking my fist. You know, there's things, because we have this emotion on us. We're feeling this heart of the Father, and we're expressing it. And so we want to pray that emotion through. But at some point in that, you're going to sense that negative emotion is beginning to lift. That is the moment when you want to tap into faith. At that moment, when that you feel like you've prayed that as much as you can pray, whatever that expression is, whether that's sorrow, whatever it is, and when you feel you've done that, you want to transition then into faith. And it's important for us to move from this stage into the faith stage.
Yes.
When we feel that transition, it's important then to move to faith. Because experiencing the heart of the Father can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have that happen. It's going to be overwhelming. And you have to learn, we all have to learn when to make that shift. And sometimes by ourselves we're not able to do that. Sometimes if you're praying in a group, and this is just on you, sometimes your brother or sister's the one that begins to reach into heaven, and that helps you then transition to that place of faith. And so we don't want to stay in the anguish or the sorrow any longer than we need to, but we also don't want to rush it. We want to allow the Father's heart to be expressed as we're praying. It's important. He desires that, because it's a twofold thing. He's doing something in you while you're experiencing that heart. Guaranteed. So there's a couple of things that can happen when we make that transition, and there's sometimes you'll experience both. Sometimes you'll only experience one. One is you begin to reach into heaven and you pull the Father's will down, okay, into the situation. You want to pray in the Spirit with authority, declaring God's will and His word in the Spirit. Now, there's a time to switch from praying in those tongues to praying out the word, and you can do that. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But you can pray with authority. You can actually pray God's word in tongues. You just don't know what you're saying.
That's right.
God's actually speaking through you. There are times when you will be interceding in the Spirit and you're praying in tongues, and God is speaking to darkness out of your mouth. You just don't know it. So you want to allow your expression to be in when you're praying in those tongues, to be in faith and declaration. And you know, it's weird, because sometimes when you're doing that, when you're in the Spirit, you know exactly what you're doing, and you think you know what you're saying. You just don't have any English for it. Make sense?
Linguish.
So in these times, the natural mind does not know what my spirit is seeing, but I can tell you that my spirit knows, and it is emphatic that the Father's will is going to be done. Amen. The second thing that can happen, and again, you can have both of these things happen or just one. Just depends on how God's moving on you, your own unique individuality. But the second thing is that when we make that transition from the sorrow or the hurt or the anguish or whatever that is, we can begin to war. Mm-hmm. Praying in tongues. We begin to war with the enemy that's battling that situation or that's coming against that person or city or nation. And in the warfare, we will pray in the spirit with authority, and we will find ourselves speaking to darkness itself, God's word, in tongues, and his will.
Yes.
And we will overtake the enemy in the spirit. We may pray out in English and declare the Father's word and will according to his word. We know what his word says, so we know from that what his will is. But for myself, I find that until I feel or sense by the Spirit that the battle's been won, I just pray in tongues. And the reason I do is because the Spirit bypasses my mind. Mm-hmm. And so I figure, as long as I'm praying in tongues, whatever I'm saying is the Lord's will. It's not my will.
That's right.
Because sometimes, you know, when we're speaking in English, our mind then gets in the way. So when we're praying in tongues, we can't go wrong. We can't mess it up. So we want to pray in warfare or faith or both until we feel or sense the Spirit bring the release and breakthrough. And you'll know when that happens. I mean, you'll just be going away and all of a sudden, it's like, boom, it's gone. It's... Once that breakthrough comes, it's a time of great rejoicing. Yeah. It's a time of great rejoicing. I mean, we can laugh, sing, even shout, dance, if you experience a great release like that. There's another thing I want to talk about with intercession, and that is how we can intercede by praying for an individual and experiencing that person's heart. I believe that James Gall calls this identificational intercession.
Yes.
This is an opportunity to experience another person's pain, trauma, difficulty in their life with a sin problem, whatever. In this type of intercession, you're praying in the stead of that individual, but more than that, you're praying how or what they themselves cannot pray. They are not able. For whatever the situation is, they're not able to. They feel it inside of them, but they are not able to pray it out. This is so important. Because there are so many people trapped, yes, and they cannot get out by themselves, guys. And that's part of our commission, is to help them break free.
Yes.
And we can do that by standing in their stead. So in this type of intercession, it becomes more than just feeling sorrow or grief or concern. I mean, you actually feel like it's you. It's like you're that person. And when this happens, you may find that all you can do is literally groan. I had this experience praying for someone. I had a totally different tongue. It was a Native American tongue. I don't usually pray with that. And I was praying, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't do anything. I was lying, and I just felt this coming from down deep, and just was like, oh! I mean, I felt this person's deep longing to break free, and they were so trapped with shame. So trapped with shame, they could not get out. And this thing went on for half an hour, this groaning thing. And it also helped me in the spirit understand this person, why they were the way they were.
Yeah.
So the clincher to this is that it can be more difficult to move into faith when you're experiencing a person like this. You may experience hopelessness, fear, shame, and I mean you. And so that's why it's really important in this identificational intercession that you get your will. At a certain point, you have to just cry out to the Father, even if you have to do it in your mind, and say, oh God, help me. I have to move into faith for this person. And then you do the same thing. You move into faith and you begin to declare victory.
Yes.
So it's important, even if we know the individual, to pray in the Spirit.
And I think it's important to recognize when you are experiencing those feelings, because a real typical thing is to feel unbelievable. And it's not yours.
That's it.
And so that you recognize and don't give up.
Yes. That's so true. Absolutely.
Linda,
yes.
James Gall recommends that when you're doing identificational intercession, that you pray that there be at least two people.
Right.
That's not a, you know, you never can do it. But if you're feeling that coming on, call someone and see, hey, can we meet together? I feel like I need to pray for this person. Because the person who's experiencing the unbelief, the other person can come in.
Absolutely.
And believe.
Yes.
Look,
very.
If you are praying for someone and you are recognizing that, there is... there is your faith to overcome it.
Yes.
The fact that you recognize it.
That's right.
Because this can happen even when witnessing to someone, or not witnessing, ministering to someone that's having a hard time. And you are giving them hope and scripture and faith and, and you know, possibilities. And it's like, nah, but you don't understand. It's like I always see that as a person drowning in the sea, and you're throwing them the light ring and they're pushing it away, and then you just begin to realize, okay, done talking here, this is a matter of prayer.
Yes.
Because it's just such a wet blanket.
Yeah.
And you've got to recognize that it's not you, it's not yours.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's so true. So it's important, even if you know this individual, to pray in the Spirit, because probably even more important when you know the person, because your own mind is liable to get in the way. So I recommend not praying in English unless it's just specifically the word that you're praying. Don't pray your own heart or your own mind, because it might not be the Father's will what you're praying. So unless you're praying the word in English, I just recommend that you don't pray. Just don't pray your own heart. So, because we don't want to be presumptuous, right? When we're praying, when we're interceding for this individual and we're experiencing their stuff, we don't want to be presumptuous that we think we know what they need. We know the word is true, so that's always good. We can pray that in English anytime. So, and the reason why we want to do this is because the Father's putting this on your heart for this person, because he's looking for someone who can release the pain, who can release the trauma, who can, release the difficulty and then reach up into heaven and pull down the Father's will into the situation. So when we're praying in the Spirit, we can't go wrong, right? We cannot lose. So that's what I have to share about intercession. Do you guys have any questions?
We've said this before at the last Journey for Prayer, but just remember, when you're praying in the Spirit, you all can be praying about the same thing, and one person's laughing, another person's crying, another person's groaning. Yeah. There are so many times on Wednesday mornings when I all of a sudden have this terrible, horrible groaning come on me, and Sharon begins laughing almost at the exact same moment. And it's like, I know that she's laughing. Somebody else is singing in the Spirit. You know, we are working together in the Spirit. And so if one person's laughing, another is crying, another is singing, another is groaning, we are working together, going through in the Spirit. So I just wanted to remind you that we're not necessarily all going to be groaning at the same time.
Yeah, really.
Exactly, yes.
I'll just throw this out because Virginia mentioned me laughing. At times, that is because I experience the faith.
Yes.
The faith for the victory.
That's right.
And it's God's perspective on this thing that has me tied in knots or someone else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's oftentimes what that is.
That's true.
On the throne and laughs.
And I look over at Robin and she's in the glory of the throne room, and I know it. And I know it. And it gives me faith. And it gives me strength. And that's right. That's the truth. That's the end of it all.
Exactly. And that is so true. I want to say one other thing. I know I'm really loud. Some of that is that I don't hear really well. But some of that is because I was a cheerleader, and I learned to be really loud as a cheerleader. But I want to share with you something that Dr. Morocco, he is the pastor at King's Cathedral in Hawaii. And his father used to be the pastor there, and now he's the pastor, and he's probably our age. But anyway, he said that they used to go to the prayer room to pray in the morning. His father always went, and so he would go. And after Dr. Morocco took over being pastor, they still would do this until his father passed away. So they're up there one morning, and, after they've prayed for a while, Dr. Morocco looks at his dad, and he says, Dad, God's not deaf. And his dad said, I know, son, and he's not afraid either.
Yeah.
So that was encouraging to me because I'm really loud. So sometimes in a group thing, I hold back because I know I'm so loud. And and it hinders me when I'm praying.
Yeah.
Because I'm not just being who I really am. Because I used to do rah, rah, rah. And so I'm working on that because I know that I shouldn't hold back. First of all, it does not bother me if I'm praying in tongues really loud for someone to come up and tap me to let me know someone's praying in English. That doesn't bother me, so you're all free to do that. I say that because I'm still working on this thing. This is really hard for me because I have had so many people in prayer meetings talk to me about how I don't need to be so loud. So I'm trusting y'all to help me with this, okay, when we're praying
but
together.
Melinda, one thing, once when somebody told me that I didn't need to be so loud, right after that, I'm reading the Word, and one scripture after another said that they shouted, they yelled. with great loudness. And I went, you know what? I am who I am.
Yeah.
And so we need to not worry about who we are. there are people that are quiet, there are people that are loud, there are people who need music, there are people who don't want music, there are people who want the lights on, there are people who want the lights off. You know?
That's what I was thinking when you were saying that. If you were quiet, what if everybody was quiet because somebody said you're too loud and then all of a sudden there's no noise?
It's true.
You know,
this is true. And I partly share that because, you guys, I just want you to know who I am. It's really important because I can't be free unless you know who I am. And you know what? Neither can you all.
That's right.
Can you have to step out and be who you are in order to be free?
That just makes me think about Pastor Tracy Armstrong at Citadel. He says, quiet churches make him nervous.
So I wanted to say that in line with what Virginia was sharing is that we all need to move how God moves on us. We need to do that. There's a reason why God moves on you the way he moves on you. So we're going to do an activation. And we're going to use these steps. So this activation...
Should we have a potty break?
Yeah, let's take a break because this activation will take a little more time because we're actually going to move through the steps of intercession as a group. Okay, so let's take a break, get something to drink, go to the bathroom.
Oh, and the refrigerator is full of pop and water. There's room temperature water on top of it. There's coffee, tea. Make yourselves at home. Why don't you mind?
I'm just telling you, man. I'm just telling you, man.